Welcome back to the Broadway Block. On today's episode, tough loss and overtime loss to the Maple Leafs. We got a great guest, returning guest, AK, Alexis Kennedy. How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Trade deadline, a lot of speculation out there. I don't really have anybody that I'm super, super keen on, although I saw today Alex Tuch is reportedly available, but that would be the only move that's really exciting me. Is there anybody out there that...
Not really. I'm kind of like, yeah, our team's a little bit broken looking for that center, but or the right winger or whatever we're looking for, whatever piece we're trying to figure out right now. And I feel like if it's not broken, don't fix it. Like, it is a little bit broken, don't get me wrong, but I feel like we've been doing really well this season, and to make like a huge change right now, I feel like it's going to change the whole motive of the team between locker room, actually like on ice. I feel like it's starting to click for some people. Obviously we have some slots that we do have to fill. But I'm not really like keen on like trading for anyone or doing anything crazy like that right now. No.
Well, I think it was very interesting because, you know, obviously the Maple Leafs are considered a tougher opponent, and we have the Panthers coming up tonight. So I'm excited to see how we're going to fare against them. But it was interesting towards the end of the game. Obviously, Joe Micheletti was out that night for the game, and we had Dave Maloney. And so Dave was much more harsh than Joe was. I wouldn't say harsh, but he was just much more critical. And at one point he was almost like, it's kind of on Mika and Chris, like right now, to show up and deliver, which that's kind of what we've all been saying and moving towards the playoffs. So if they don't show up, then you kind of need those backline guys, where I kind of feel like we're pretty settled, but I feel like we could use a couple pieces here and there.
Yeah, I agree. I love Chris and Mika as much as the next person does, obviously, but I feel like those two could be split up just to see what can be done, because neither one of them have shown up. It's Mika March. He only scored in the shootout. When was it? Two nights ago. I definitely am concerned for the two of them, because usually they're like pretty much on fire, but I feel like right now it's Panarin and Trocheck that are really up there for us and really handling this team and shooting and scoring and doing all the things that we need to get done. So I do definitely worry about Chris and Mika, and I feel like that's something that needs to be separated with time. I know I'm going to get my head on a stake for that one, but I mean, it's the truth. What else are we supposed to do at this point? They're not producing. And something needs to be shaken up there, at least a trial run to see what happens.
And to bring it back to Barkley Goodrow down there on the fourth line, how have you fared with, you know, the Rempe, Edstrom? Like, I feel like he's been doing pretty well down there. Fourth line's been good, but is that going to be enough going forward into the whole year? Is that a strong enough fourth line to carry us?
I love Barclay, as everyone knows. One of the biggest Barclay fans. I think the Edstrom and Rempe have really held their own. They've really shown up. They have shown what they can do. And Barclay is just not producing. Like, it shows in his stats. He's not producing this year. He's doing the things he's supposed to do, winning faceoffs, PKs, all those things. But other than that, he is really underproducing, I feel like, compared to the year he had last year. It does worry me that, you know, there could be something potential in the trade deadline with him. I don't think so, because who's going to want to take his contract? But it is a little bit of like concern for me. I don't want him to go. And I think the fourth line is solid. I think it needs to be fixed, but for everything else that's going on, I feel like our main focus should be that top line, and also power play one. They have been an absolute disaster so far.
Well, but somehow they're like ranked six or something. Every time I'm like, at the beginning of the games, I'm like, but how?
Yeah, it makes no sense at all. I feel like that power play one, I feel like Laffy should be moved up. Like, I have a lot of thoughts on power play one, and I really think that Mika or Chris need to be taken off of there, and there needs to be someone that steps up to that role, so that power play one looks better, because power play two is overtaking it as soon as power play one gets off the ice.
We've actually seen, like, I think Gallant did it once, Laviolette's done it a few times, putting the second unit out to start, and you know, maybe you catch some sore legs when you get the fresh bodies back out, and you know, got like Mika and their second penalty kill unit, you can kind of create a mismatch that way. But I would agree with you to kind of diversify it a little bit, at least make both units kind of a threat. And I think we've seen a little bit less than we have in years past of riding that top unit for like a minute and 45 seconds. And then the second unit comes on with, you know, just a little bit of ice time. So I agree. It needs a little bit of a different look, because Laffy's a guy that's having some success right now. He's cashing in. He's finishing. His confidence is at clearly an all-time high. And he skates with Trocheck and Panarin. So he obviously already has that chemistry as well. It's funny because when we were talking about the stats, I pulled up Mika and Kreida's numbers, and it's like we all kind of see it, right? And the 5-on-5 is really where people like to zero in, obviously. And you know, people call us power play merchants for, you know, until we win the cup, and even then they'll still find a reason to hate. But you know, you look at the stats, 56 points, 54 points respectively over 61 games and 60 games. So it's like, you know, they're almost at that point per game pace. It's clearly not what we've seen out of Mika. I think that part's obvious. Kreider scoring 30 goals has to be the silver lining to all of this, though, because I think when he scored those 52, everyone and their mother was like, that's never going to happen again. But if you look at the pace he's on right now, I mean, like, it could happen. And he's such a streaky guy like that, you know, I'm excited that he's at least producing. Mika is a little bit, in my opinion, more concerning, especially because he plays that top line center role, and there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. And just like any sport, if you're not cashing in, it's really hard to see the confidence in the defensive metrics and all those little things, and to, you know, to put out your best effort forward. But I would think that somebody onto that line, they've always just felt like they're missing that piece that will make it whole again. I always think about like a guy like Fast, who's a puck retriever, somebody who can add a little bit of jam to that line. When they maybe don't want to go get the puck, or they're in their positions that makes them effective. It's hard because we say all this, and you know, you trade for a guy like Tuck, for example, like we mentioned previously in the episode, but what do you do about the third line then? Because we're at this kind of cap spot. So I don't really think that a guy like that we're going to pursue. We have to kind of fill a few positions with not that much money, but it's interesting because we've seen teams win from depth, and I have a feeling that this team doesn't address that top line right wing and instead elects to go for that depth third line center. Maybe somebody like Edstrom finds their way back in the minors because of the moves that we make, but it's going to be interesting considering how little we have to kind of move things around. So it makes it kind of obvious that somebody has to be shed, whether that be a cap casualty like Kako even or Goodrow.
I have been fully preparing myself to see him get moved. I've already mentally prepared myself. I mean, especially after the game the other night, he did not play well at all. And I remember like logging on to Twitter. I was like, yep, all right, I've had enough for the night. I'm not going to look anymore. I was like, I can't defend him. It's hard to defend someone when they're not playing great hockey compared to the years that they've had before. I also think one of the biggest things that the team is dealing with right now, half of the guys on the team are brand new dads. Like half of the guys have newborn babies at home. Like, and I feel like that also applies to how they're doing. I mean, Mika just had a baby, and look how he's producing. Goody just had a baby and the jaw surgery, which I can only imagine how crazy that was for him in that situation. When you can't eat real food, you have a liquid diet, you're not sleeping. I think that also really affected his play as well. And that's something that I've always been like trying to remember is, you know, they have a life outside of this sport and this job that they have in the career, that sometimes I feel like people forget that and expect them to be on their A game all the time, especially with Igor last year when he had his baby. It was the same thing. And I think that's something that people tend to forget when we watch sports, is that there's more than just lacing up the skates. There's things that go on the outside as well, too. So I just worry how long we can like keep this momentum going into the playoffs, and if we make it far, if they can really just keep pushing through, because it seems like we get to the playoffs, we're doing really well, we're all hyped up, and then like last year was the first round exit when we were doing really well. So I don't know. I'm trying not to get my hopes up for this year. They're up a little bit this year, but I'm trying not to do it too much considering everything else.
That's already too high. Bring it back down, and or you'll get hurt again.
I'm already going to get hurt. This team hurts me every single day. There's something new that hurts me every single day with this team. It's been that way for 25 years of my life. Like, they have hurt me every single day. But I honestly, I believe in them, but there's going to be a lot of challenges that we have to go through in order to get this done. And I think that's something huge that needs to be addressed, whether it's the third line, the first line, you know, like you said, we don't have many pieces to move right now. And I don't even know who I'd be willing to give up, honestly.
Glass half full. We're doing this well without the contributions from Kreider and Mika and Goodrow and, yeah. And there's a few other names too. So, you know, hopefully I feel like this team from my maybe last 4 years of watching is obviously I've watched my whole life, but this window of players specifically, it seems like we get contributions, but not from everybody all at the same time. You take the just to highlight a few of the Fox Norris season, the Vezina Igor season, Artemi's an arguable Hart Trophy candidate. But all of these guys seem to do this at different times. And if everybody was firing on all cylinders, that's why I think on paper, this team is like, you know, the sky's the limit. But at the same time, it really comes down to results. You bring up a good point, though. Like, imagine if at our job, like they lined up all 10 of us and they're just like, well, let's compare apples to apples. Like Steven sold 10 copies last week, but, you know, Joe, he only sold 3 and you get paid more than Steven does. So that's a little it would be weird if that was your life at work. So I mean, it is an interesting perspective to keep in mind.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And I hate the idea of moving Kako. I really do. I think he will come back. Like, he's been there, but I think he will eventually make his way back. I just think he needs to be paired with someone that will help him get there, because those two aren't really doing much for him right now. And I feel like he really thrived when the two of them were doing well. And now we're back here where Mika's having a little bit of an off year. You know, Kreider's doing his thing, but Kako's just kind of like there in the mix between the two of them. So I don't think it's fair to trade him away unless we could get something really good at a really good price.
One solid point that happened this week was obviously Igor coming back and really being Igor himself, but re-signing Jonathan Quick to 1.275 is just a steal by Jordan, because now we always seem like, ever since like Hank left, that we really don't know who our like backup is and what's going to happen, blah blah blah. So that's, to me, I'm like, all right, now we can just focus on the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I was very happy to see that. That was yesterday that came out. I was very, very happy to see that. I feel like he has been such a great addition to this team. Obviously, everyone had some nightmares when he first joined, a reminder of everything in the past that's gone on with him. But I think he is a great addition. I think he truly does love to play for the New York Rangers. And I enjoy getting to watch him play. I think he is just as fun to watch as Igor is. So I'm excited to see how this year and next year goes with him. I really do love Quick. I love our goalies right now. I really do. Yeah. I haven't loved both of our goalies in some time, but I do love Quick and I do love Chassie, and I feel like I can depend on them when the team isn't showing up defensively or offensively. So,
well, I think it's one less thing now that you have to accomplish over the offseason. I mean, think about what it does for the player. Obviously, they don't have to worry about what's going on. He really wanted to play here. He's a Rangers fan growing up from Connecticut, I believe. So it's like, this was huge for him. It just gives him one less thing to have to worry about. And then think about the options that are available. I mean, he could stand to go somewhere else. So we don't lose him. We sign the guy that we need. Don't have to worry about in the offseason. All good things from what I see from Jonathan Quick. Especially, like you said, having confidence in both goalies is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just feel like it can make the team go out there and be like, all right, if we let one in, it's all right. We can come back. We have a great goal. We have someone that we can rely on. I do feel like they leave Igor and Quick out to dry sometimes. And I feel like that's a big defensive thing. I'm still not a fan of the Trouba-Miller pairing. I'm just still not crazy obsessed with them. I remember the last game we played on, what was that? Was that Saturday or was it Friday? They split them up for like a split second. And I think Trouba was with Schneider or Miller was with Schneider or something like that. And I got all excited. I was like, this is a change. Like, we haven't done this yet. Like, this could be good. And then they switched it right back. I think that the defensemen need to figure something out too. I've also never been a fan of Trouba and Miller together. It's just never been something that I thought worked. I love Trouba. I love Miller. I love everyone on the team, but I just feel like that also needs to be shaken up a little bit.
Well, it's fun. We're coming up on the end of the season, and it's going to be really interesting on who we end up playing. It could be like the Isles, and it looks like, I don't know about you, but did you guys see the Devils after their little West Coast trip? They kind of dropped off there. They might even be selling at the deadline, I heard.
They also just fired their coach.
Yeah.
New coach, everything. So it's full rebuild, right?
Mm-hmm. I feel like they need that, though.
Maybe not full rebuild, or just try to see if you can make a push towards the end.
That's what they have to do. I feel like they're not going to make it very far if they do. I think they're going to have a new coach come in. They're going to have to learn how that coaches and how he works. And I feel like now's really not a great time for them to be rebuilding. But who am I to say? I think they're not going to make it very far if they make it at all. But next year, we'll see what happens. I mean, look at us with a new coach. Like, look how well we're doing underneath Labby right now. He's fantastic. He really does care about this team. He loves to see them win. So all it needs sometimes is just a new coach to like spark a fire. So,
and the Oilers with Knobloch.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 100%. I remember when I wanted him to be the coach, and then everyone was upset about Labby, and now here we are.
Yeah. I mean, you were right. A lot of people were saying when we were looking at a new coach, it's like, we have the guy in house, and it's hard to argue with the results that Knobloch's had. You look at the standings, you mentioned, you know, the Islanders the Devils are actually 2 points outside of the Islanders, who are currently in fourth place. So it's not unrealistic. And I think if you're upper management, you realize that if we don't do something right now, we miss this opportunity to make the playoffs. Let's say you get a new coach, and even if you played like 7-3 for your next 10 or something, you actually have a legitimate chance. But outside of fourth place, which doesn't necessarily guarantee you a playoff spot, the wild card race right now, there's about 6 points separating the fourth place team in the Metropolitan from the last wildcard spot in both the Atlantic and the Metropolitan. So it's going to come down to winning games. And this is always where, as a Rangers fan, I hated being, because you're counting on other people to lose instead of just playing 500 hockey. When you're already in and you just have to win some games, it's funny how it just kind of goes that way for you. But the Devils have some work to do, as do the Islanders and anybody else who expects to make it in this rat race, which, if you look at it right now, the Atlantic is really causing a glut. You have the Red Wings and the Lightning currently holding on to those last two spots, and if they were in the Metropolitan, they would both be positioned above the Flyers. So the Metro kind of not being that ultra competitive division that we're used to seeing, and out of the gate, I especially with the Flyers start, I would have had this pegged as the hardest division to crack the top four in.
I could agree with that 100%. I mean, now I just pulled it up and I'm looking at it, and it's interesting. I hope that we can keep winning games. I get scared around this time of year because sometimes they just lose momentum, and I just hope they keep pushing through so that we can see the results of what a great year we've had so far.
Predictions for tonight, AK?
It's tough. I mean, we're pretty almost hand in hand with the Panthers on wins, losses, overtime losses, and points. And they're on a 4-game winning streak right now, so they are hot right now. We obviously just lost one. We could be very hungry to win another one back, and I hope that kind of helps us push a little bit. But I want to say, I'm always going to pull for the Rangers. I'm never going to say another team's going to win. That's just not who I am. I want to say it's going to be 3-2 Rangers. That's what I'm going to say my prediction is. And
overtime?
No. Mm-mm. I think Trocheck is definitely a lock for tonight. Like, I would lock that in. Trocheck is definitely going to score at some point tonight.
Well, you mentioned Gerard Gallant, Joe. You know, imagine if the Devils did the unthinkable and hired a guy who has a pretty historic tenure of coming in and making a team immediately competitive. You look at when he goes to the Golden Knights and leads them to the first ever finals for an expansion team. And then they sort of drop off a little bit the following year. And then we watched that happen with the Rangers. He takes us to the Eastern Conference Final. He seems to know how to take a group of people, just walk into it and command some respect. And I mean, who out there is even available. There's only a few head coaches in this kind of carousel of retreads that are without a job at the moment. And we've seen a few head coaches lose their jobs this year and their team immediately have a response to it. So, I mean, you saying that kind of made me instantly think about like, oh no, that would be worst case scenario. But they have to try to salvage something, in my opinion, the Devils, that is, because you look at the standings and you look at the offensive power that they have. They've just always been a team that needed a goaltender, and the trade deadline hasn't happened yet. So I wouldn't call them done just yet, but circling back on predictions, I'm going to say 4-2 Panthers, unfortunately.
I can't look. I guess I'm going to say 4-3 Rangers win, right? Okay. Right in between.
Yeah.
We're all pretty close. I mean, that's pretty good.
So we're getting some goals tonight, some action. I like it.
I hope so. I hope they show up. And I mean, I really hope they...
Igor's in net.
Okay, good. I haven't seen anything. I was hoping he would be. That's good. He played the other night. I'm hoping he can get his confidence back a little bit from tonight, even though I didn't think he really did anything. Like, he did great in the shootout the other night and in overtime. So can't complain.
And obviously, I wanted to give you the mic for a second, throw a little spotlight on you because you had something you wanted to share with everybody.
Yes. So March 27th, it's a Wednesday. I don't have the time locked down yet, but I will be bringing AK on the PK, my podcast, back officially. I'm excited to get back into it. We're going to have guests. We're going to do standalones, all those things. So I'm really excited to officially bring it back and get it rolling. It only went for 2 episodes last time, but I'm ready to fully commit to it and push through and start seeing how we do. Maybe it'll help bring us some luck this year. Maybe that's what it'll be. The fact that I start the podcast again, and maybe we'll make it all the way. We'll see.
You can follow the Rangers to their next Stanley Cup.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Well, we wish you all the luck in the world, obviously. And thanks again for chatting hockey. It's always a pleasure.
Of course. Thank you for having me. Love you guys. You guys always let me yap about the Rangers, so I appreciate it.
We appreciate you.
Let's all go, right. Rangers.
Yeah, let's go, Rangers. Let's hope for a win tonight.
Big win coming. Big win.